May 11, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to study from Hebrews chapter 3 verse 9. Where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This is about the people of Israel who were in the wilderness thousands of years ago. So if you think that this has nothing to do with you, you are mistaken. As we just read in the 1 Corinthians, the story is a lesson for the later generations that to prepare for the end time. So I do believe that we have to take this lesson seriously, since many seem to lose salvation even after they have obtained it. And the Hebrews chapter also repeatedly talks about entering his rest. In chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So entering his rest is something very important. Let's look up what the Bible says about his rest from Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. For as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you, but when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety. So in this case, the rest means being protected from their enemies and then being able to dwell in the land they inherit. If we apply this to us, this land we inherit is our place in the kingdom of God. And not only the land is an inherited land, this is the land of rest. And as the verse 10 says, it is the Lord who fights for you to give you the rest in the land he has given you, and this is the promise of God given to us. So God will protect us from the enemies, which is Satan, which try to hinder us from receiving the inheritance from God. But as the verses in the Hebrews said, some people anger God, and God removes his protection from those people, and they would be exposed to all the attacks from Satan. But if we are faithful to God, it is God's promise that he will protect us from the enemy's attack, and we will have our peace in our lives. Going back to the Hebrews, chapter 3:11. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. God must be really angry for saying that he swore that he will deny the entry into his rest. But if we are following God, that should not happen to our lives. Yes, we get attacked by the enemy, but be it lust of flesh or of the world, but we should always have victory, and we should not be like we're always beaten up and then we cannot even pray or come to the church. Our life should not be like that. So if we do not make God angry, our Christian walk should lead you to the place of rest. I know this to be true from my own experience. As I follow God faithfully, all the enemy's attacks eventually disappear. I used to be deceived by a false doctrine, but I was saved from that too. When I was with the Holiness Group Church, they would say that we would have to confess our sins in public, or when I was with the Brethren Group, I was also embracing the wrong teaching. I never had any rest. I was also believing in the false revival led by Benny Hinn, but God was merciful that I was released from those deceptions too, and I was allowed to enter into his rest. And as the verse 11 says, that they shall not enter my rest, the decision to enter his rest comes from God. We don't enter on our own. The Lord decides for us to enter into his rest. So if you are constantly being attacked by Satan or other demonic spirits like anger or unforgiveness all the time, it may be that you are doing something that is making God angry. For he says that he swore in his wrath. But if we are faithful to God, entering into his rest is a promise. His promise to us. Verse 12 and 13. Be aware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Speaking of deceitfulness of sin, we had Eve who heard directly from God that she could eat anything from the garden except from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for she would surely die if she eats it. But when tempted by Satan, to her, the fruit started looking appealing in every way. It looked tasty and it would also give her knowledge. So forbidden fruit looked like it was a good thing to take, which was the deception from Satan. The same thing would happens to us when we start thinking with our own judgment and disregarding word of God. Then what we see in the natural start looking very appealing to our eyes. One example is believing to be lifted up before the tribulation, or not believing the existence of hell at all, like the Pope teaches. Those teachings seem very appealing and convenient to those who want to sin as much as the world but still want to go to heaven. Teaching of purgatory is like that too. This is not in the Bible anyway, but they teach that, and if you fall into purgatory, you will have a chance to work your way up to heaven. I have asked the Catholic people whether he could tell me where exactly in the Bible it talks about the purgatory, and he could not answer my question. So I think this is another deception that people believe. Verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. This word, partaker of Christ, means to share what was given to Christ, like if you rob a bank and then you divide the money you stole. I know it's not the best example, but sharing is what partaker means. As the Hebrew 1 verse 4 says, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So what Christ has inherited, which is the more excellent name in heaven, will be shared with us as well. As the Hebrew 2:6 says, but one testified in a certain place, saying, what is the man you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. We will be partaking his glory and honor, and will be higher than the angels, and those things will happen to us if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, the verse 14 says. When you read the Bible, you have to read everything. There are many people who read only the good parts and fail to read the rest. The steadfast to the end is the condition that is required to obtain the promise, and it seems that many people fall out of the promise as it happened in the wilderness. As you know, some went back to the idol worship and then some complained about God. I was talking to some brothers yesterday, and then they go to another church and then they ask their pastor to listen to my message and see what he thinks about it. And he listened to it and then said, what I preach is biblically sound, but there's no blessing. Well, it might be true in a sense, but there are many who are talking about just the blessings and ignore the rest. A good example can be found during the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. He used to have thousands of followers, but the number got reduced to a handful in the end. Towards the end, the Pharisee and the scribes came and hindered their walk with Christ, and eventually, with people's opinion, Jesus was even led to the cross. Those who held on to the faith till the end was the 12 disciples who went through all the persecutions. That's what the Bible says, and I don't have a special Bible which says something different from the rest. Everyone else's Bible says the same thing. I actually bought a new Bible. I lost the last one last week. I walked around my neighborhood preparing for the sermon for Sunday, and I had a bag with a notebook and a Bible, and after the walk I came home and I could not find the Bible in the bag. So I bought a new one. But it is the same version as the last one, so the message is still the same. So I say this again, that holding on to the faith till the end is the key. Like the disciples, they got persecuted severely and got kicked out of the synagogues, equivalent to us being kicked out of the church. But they held on to Jesus and his promise till the end, because Jesus told them that he would go to prepare a place for them. Verse 15, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. It shows that God does talk to us, but some people do not listen to him and harden their heart, which brings wrath of God. This hearing of his voice has been my quest since I was young. When I was in high school, that's when I got baptized, and the pastor of that church didn't talk about this. But the next church I went to, the pastor was encouraging us to listen to God's voice. I remember another brother from the church asked me after the preaching if I have heard the voice of God. He was a boxer, and then he was about 10 years older than me, and he said, well, you seem to be a good Christian, but as the pastor said today, have you heard the voice of God? And I said, no, and he seemed rather relieved and said, good, me neither. And I'm not the only one. But we also had another sister in the church who brought her testimonies all the time, saying that she heard his voice while she was taking a bath and such, even describing what his voice sounded like. I never heard any audible voice of God, so that really confused me. But I know now that even if you don't hear an audible voice, if you're willing to hear his voice, God talks to us in the spirit. And sometimes God tells you different things from what other people tell you. It may be people from the world or people from your church, like pastors or leaders. So we have to choose whose voice we listen to. And that's what happened to me when I was with another church before. God started speaking to me about the end time, which was different from what I was learning from this church. The church I was with had many anointed people who do prophecy and do healing and all sorts of gifts. But I wanted to be accepted by them about what I was hearing in the spirit. And since I had a heart to do what I do now, I wanted to hear the confirmation from the prophet. So I made an appointment with him, and he met me one-on-one, and he prophesied over me regarding other things. But he never said anything about me serving the Lord like I do now. But since I had this stirring in my heart, I asked him about it, and he seemed a bit surprised and then didn't say anything. But I pursued what I heard in the spirit anyway. The Bible says God speaks to us. If he doesn't, he would not say so. So it is not that God is not speaking to us. It is us who is not listening to him, like kids who would not listen to his parents. It's not that kids do not hear the voice of parents. The children hear it, but they choose not to obey the voice. So I never received any encouragement or confirmation from those people, but I listened to his voice, and that's where I found his blessings. So it is okay to follow his voice, even if it is different from what people say. It is like you're learning a foreign language. If you study English, even if you don't understand anything in the beginning, eventually your listening comprehension will improve. Verse 16. Or who having heard rebelled? Who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Those are the people who hardened their heart and did not listen to the voice of God and did not enter into the promised land and died in the wilderness. Same thing will happen to a Christian walk too. I don't want to teach false blessings because if I don't speak the truth as a teacher, I will be judged for that. So I have to say that the reality is many people's faith will be broken. And to whom did he answer that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So we only have two choices, whether to follow God completely or not to follow God at all. There is no halfway to do this, but if we do this, we might as well do it all the way, so that we can fully enter into his rest, which is his promise for us.